Welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Listen, these podcasts are best listened to in the morning because we are waking up not only our bodies from sleeping, but we're waking up our minds, we're waking up our focus, we're waking up our calling, and we are following the breadcrumbs that God has left for us throughout the day over our life to tell us exactly what to do next. So stop saying that you don't know what to do. Stop feeling overwhelmed. Stop living in the valley and start walking into your calling. So I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show. I was studying Jonah a couple weeks ago. God just told me, read Jonah. And everywhere I was turning, it was about Jonah. Someone in my Bible study was talking about reading Jonah. Someone in my mom's group with our leaders was talking about Jonah. And so I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to read Jonah. It's like, you know, everywhere I turned. And God tends to do things like that for us. If you keep seeing a book or hearing a song or seeing a church or something where you're like, I just know that God wants me to do this. And when you get really in tune with him and you learn how he works and you just get to know him a little bit more by spending more time with him, you'll start to hear more from him and those instructions. So I read Jonah, and Jonah's very short. It's not very long at all. It's 3 chapters and it's very short. And I knew the story of Jonah, the gist of it, you know, he gets swallowed by a whale. And I've seen the VeggieTales episode of Jonah like a trillion times. So I knew the gist of it, but I didn't know why God wanted me to read it. And I didn't really understand all of Jonah. So the topic of today's podcast is called Obey. And for a couple of reasons why we're talking about Jonah right now. So for one, I have struggled with obeying what God has said for a really long time. And I know you have too. And you might not even realize that you are running from God. A lot of times it's masked by our fear. It's masked by our busyness. It's masked by our distractions. And you don't realize you're running from God. So by the time this episode is over, my goal is to help expose what you are running away from so that you can start running towards it and be obedient to God and get into action so you can start to find your purpose. So a lot of people talk about their purpose. Like, what am I going to be when I get older? You know, this is the number one thing that I talk to women about. And you could be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and you're still like, Taryn, I don't know what I want to be. I was talking to a friend of the family yesterday at Easter, and all her kids are grown up, and she just went through a divorce. And she's living on her own. And this is her first time. She has her own house and she's building this home and this life for herself. And she's like, Taryn, it's so weird because I'm old, but I don't even know who I am. I don't even know what I like. I don't know, you know, now I have no kids to take care of. I have no husband to take care of, but it's just me, myself, and I. And I have to relearn this. Like, I have a job because I have to pay the bills, but what am I here for? What is my purpose? And really, it's everyone. If you have young kids, right now you're finding your purpose is in motherhood. And if you are running a business, you feel like your purpose is in your business, but you were created for a reason. And God has already planned out what your purpose is on this planet. But so many people are looking for this answer of, what is my purpose? Like, what is the end goal? What is it that I'm going to be doing? And I want to tell you that you can't find your end purpose. You have to discover it through your journey from the valley to the peak of the mountain. It's about the journey. It's not about the end goal. And I know it's really hard to think that because we think, okay, I want to be a lawyer. So I'm going to go to school to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I'm going to go to school to be a doctor. And this is the path I'm going to go on in order to get to this end result. Everything we do, it's like, where do you want to go? Okay, this is the path to get there. And with this, it's opposite. It's not where do I want to end up? Okay, this is how I'm getting there. It's I'm going to start taking the steps daily, being in God's presence daily, doing the things he wants me to do daily. And then the end result is none of my business. It's going to show up. It's going to appear because of this journey that I'm walking on. And no matter how many times I tell this to people, it's like, they still don't believe me. It goes, they're like, yeah, I know. But like, what am I going to do? I'm like, okay, you're not hearing me. This isn't how it goes. So if you, I am going to tell you the two things that you need to do in order to realize what your purpose is and how to get into the journey, how to start walking down the path of your journey. And I'm going to share a little bit about Jonah's life and how this related to him. But before that, I want you, as you're listening to this, to really just try to let go of the control and your thoughts of what you think you want and what you think you want to do. And I want to just invite in the Holy Spirit to really speak to your soul and to speak through me to you so that you can hear things a little bit differently. Because you know what you need to do next. You know the action you need to take. You know the things that you've been running away from God, but you're maybe not completely aware of them consciously. Maybe it's more of a subconscious feeling and awareness, but I want this to become a conscious awareness so that you're realizing, oh, okay, these are the things. And you have to do it this way because right away, the initial thought is, oh, I don't know. Well, what is God telling you? I don't know. I don't know. And we say, I don't know so quickly. And that's for a whole lot of reasons, but we do know. And I learned that with a psychiatrist that I met a couple years ago, where he wouldn't let anyone say, I don't know, because you do know. So let's just take a second. And when you know, then you can say it. And that really has stuck with me. And I've used that in my whole life, whether it's just counseling a friend and talking to them, or parenting, or in my marriage, or with myself. And sometimes I'll even journal, why do I feel this way? And I'll write, I don't know. And then I'll pause and I'll wait. And then I'll write down what comes to my mind next. So if you're in a place where you're not in the pit of the valley, so I would say if you could rate yourself between 1 and 10, 1 is you're in the pit of the valley. You are suffocating. You're struggling. You are in a very bad spot mentally. You're very negative. You're very run down, burnt out, worried, fearful, anxious. You're all of the things, and you're down in the pit of this valley. I would say you're a number 1. And if you are at the peak of the mountain where you're feeling hopeful and strong and excited and fearless, and you're co-creating your life with God, and you just have all of this purpose and fulfillment inside of you, you're a 10 and you're at the top of the mountain. You're at the peak. So I would say that if you're anywhere from a 4 up, then you would be an ideal candidate to check out my course that I created called Find Your Purpose. And you can find that at mentoringthemasses.com. And the reason why I say you need to be a 4 is because I don't want you diving into this course when your mind is still not in a good spot, where you're still like, woe is me. I'm struggling. I'm dying. I'm suffocating. I can't even live another day. You have to get out of that frame of mind. And there are a lot of podcasts in season 1 that you can listen to get out of that place. There's a few that you can listen to. There's step 1, step 2, and step 3. So you can go back and look. I think they're in like the 40s and the 50s in season 1. And that will tell you how to get out of that, how to go from a 1 to a 2 and a 2 to a 3 and a 3 to a 4. Now, if you are a 4 or above, check out mentoringthemasses.com and pray on it. And this might be something that is a great action step for you. It puts all of your purpose and who you are and your identity and everything all wrapped up into a course that makes it very easy for you to go through with God, journaling, writing things down, and really discovering your purpose. And I want you to pray on it before doing it, because I don't want anyone to just feel hyped up and they go and do it. I want you to be ready to do it. It's 5 videos. You do it all on your own. You get your own login for a portal that you can come back and you can see your progress. There's a lot of printouts, and there has been hundreds of people that have gone through this course, and it has been very freeing for them. So I wanted to tell you that that tool is available for you, but in order to move forward, because that's really the goal here. The goal is to move forward in our lives. And in order to move forward, we need to do something that's very important. So we need to be spending daily time with God and his people. And you might think, okay, I know you talk about this all the time. I get it. But I want you to truly ask yourself over the last week, how much time have I spent with God and his people? And this can be made up of a lot of different activities, praying or listening to God. You know, praying is you talking to him. Listening or meditating is him talking to you. Doing both of those things, reading in your Bible, either on your own or in a study. Circling up with the right influence of people through church and life groups and small groups and, you know, Bible studies, anything like this. But it's daily time with God and his people. This is very, 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 very important. Because if you do not do this, then you cannot listen or know the instruction. So if you don't know how to spend time with God and you feel overwhelmed by that, we have a podcast for that. It's one of our most listened to podcasts, and it's in season 1 and it's episode 40, and it's called Time with God. And it goes through how to spend time with God. And this is for a brand new person too. If you're like, I have zero clue, Taryn, what are you even talking about? This episode 40 will walk you through step-by-step of how to do this. Maybe you're someone who's been spending time with God, but you got distracted. It was Easter. It was busy. We had spring break for a lot of schools. So it was just a different routine than you're used to. And you got to get back to it. So if you drifted away and you haven't been spending that much time daily with God and with his people, you need to get back to that. And his people are so important. And that's what the church is. When I say church, I don't mean necessarily a church building. A church is made up of God's people. That's what makes up the church. So you could not even have a building and meet outside in the woods, and that would still be considered a church. The reason why you need to have that is because you need that good godly influence around you. When you're fighting with your husband, you need a group of people that will encourage you in God's word. They're not going to tell you, oh, I would leave him. You know what? You need to get yourself a new man. You know, you need to go out and drink with the girls. You know, screw him. He deserves better. Like, you don't want that. You want someone that's like, let's go into God's word and let's see what God says about this. And have you prayed about this? And have you prayed with him? And read these scriptures. I just, over the last week, really felt like unappreciated. Like, I have been doing so much. I am the Easter bunny, and I am doing all of these things for my 4 children. And I also had to make all the food. I was sick all week. So I'm coming out of being sick. I have to make all of these meals for Good Friday, all of these meals for Sunday, get all of the Easter baskets together and shop for and get everything ready and hidden in my room. And on top of that, keep my house clean and do all my normal things. And I felt really unappreciated. And I was really short with my husband. I finally told him what was wrong, and my feelings were just hurt. And I took it to God. I went to bed, and the next morning he left and was running errands, and I grabbed my Bible and I started praying that God would speak to me through his word and he would help me in this situation and to give me information that I needed in order to feel better. And I opened Proverbs, because if it's the 10th of the month, I will read Proverbs 10. If it's the 20th, I'll read Proverbs 20. And every month I just repeat that. And I write little things next to them and words I don't know, I circle. Proverbs is very poetic. And so sometimes you're like, okay, what does this mean? And you're deciphering it and I write down next to my Bible, you know, like this phrase kind of means this. And I'm going through and then God just told me to journal. And I grabbed my journal and I started writing how I felt. I kind of just threw it like a hissy fit, I totally threw a fit in my journal. Like I feel so, you know, I just feel taken advantage of, like nobody appreciates what I'm doing. I'm doing all of this stuff and I'm sick. And I was just complaining and I was getting it all out, letting it all out of my system, which is very healthy to do. And journaling is a very healthy way to do it. Cause you're not, you know, saying it to someone else. You're just talking to God and you're getting all those feelings and emotions out. And I kept asking myself, why, you know, why do you feel this way? And so I would answer and then, you know, why are you upset? And I would answer that. And I just kept going through and God said, what does my word say about recognition from man? It just came to me. And I went online and I searched scriptures on recognition from men. And I pulled up a site that had all the scriptures and I started reading them. And it really changed how I felt. And it showed me that I was really just throwing this fit and I was emotional because I was sick. It's also that time of my cycle. So I'm overly offended. And I just realized, you know, I am upset right now because I'm not looking at things the way that God wants me to look at them. And seeing all of this, all of these scriptures on recognition, I put a bunch of them. I'm going to do a podcast soon on marriage and on, you know, like till death do us part, things like that. And I'm going to talk about marriage and for better or for worse and what this means, because my husband and I run the marriage ministry in our church with another couple. And marriage is something that we're always talking about. And it's always, you know, very relatable to me when we're going through things. And I want to tell people how to get out of them because we almost got divorced and we didn't. And it's a really big passion of mine is talking more about marriage. So I'm going to share a little bit more about recognition and those scriptures and what that looked like. But my point was that I needed good, godly advice. And so if you're in your Bible and you're journaling and you've been on this journey for a little while, you'll know how to pull yourself out of these situations. You won't just spiral and start freaking out and cause this huge fight in your marriage and, you know, make things worse. So if you have that circle of influence around you, this will help you, especially in the beginning stages of being a Christian. It will help you to have good, strong, godly mentors and people giving advice around you that is good advice, you know, not worldly advice. A huge difference here. So in order to move forward, because we're focusing on the journey, we're not focusing on the end goal, but we're focusing on the journey. So let's pretend like we're hiking up a mountain and we can't see the end. We can't see the view of what's above unless we begin and we start going through the woods and following the trail. So the first step, in order to walk, you have to take two steps. Right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. So in order to take your first step, you're spending that daily time with God and his people because you're listening for the instruction and you're praying that God reveals things to you, that the Spirit guides you. Now, I have created at TarynSarcone.com the list of prayers that I pray over my life daily. And if you're like, I don't really even know what to pray for, and you're just starting out or you're not good with words, you can print this off and you can change it up. You can say what I say. You know, this is really just to help you, just to give you another tool, because one of the things that I pray for is that God gives me eyes to see the breadcrumbs that he's placing in front of me. He gives me the next clue on the trail. He speaks to me and he removes distractions from my life so that I can hear when he's speaking. He gives me eyes to see the things that he wants me to see and ears to hear the things that he wants me to hear. And because I pray for these things and I spend daily time with God praying for this, I'm extra cautious and careful and I have a watchful eye during my day. And so when someone in my group said Jonah, I was like, oh, I should read Jonah. And then I heard it again. I'm like, see, there it is again. I need to read Jonah. And then I heard it again. So I might not have been aware of hearing the instruction of listen to Jonah if I wouldn't have prayed and asked God to give me ears and eyes. And so this is why I want to give you my prayers so that you can be ready. It's like going to your boss at the beginning of the day, like, okay, I'm reporting for duty. I'm here. What do you got for me? I'm ready to get into action and I'm here. And so you need to report in order to know what your assignment is, or else you're like, I don't even know. And that's the whole point of these podcasts, are meant to listen to in the morning so you can wake up and you can set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You can focus on what really truly matters. And this is why I started waking up and recording these podcasts, because I would wake up, go right into crazy life mode with 4 kids and a husband and businesses and church and ministry and soccer and school. And I would just be so crazy that it would be nighttime before I even thought about God. And I'm like, oh shoot, because I was just in survival mode. I didn't have time to be proactive. I only had time to just not drown. And that's literally all I was focusing on, is don't sink, don't drown. And if you wake up and you focus on God and you spend time with God, that's your life preserver that you're wearing, and you won't be drowning throughout the day. Everything will really change around. You'll go from living this reactive lifestyle where things are being thrown at you and you're just trying to survive them, versus living a proactive lifestyle where you're dictating how your day goes and you don't feel like you're running around with your head cut off, stressed out, yelling at your kids, freaking out, you know, just drowning in responsibility, because that's not how we're supposed to live. So to sum up step one, it's really you're listening for that instruction. Step two is taking action. Now, this is where people really fall off, because you might know the things that God has told you to do, but you haven't done them. And I love that we serve a patient, sovereign God, because he doesn't give you a new step every day. And if you're not doing the step, he's like, well, we're on step 10. And if you don't do today, then tomorrow I'm giving you step 11. And the next day is step 12 and you better catch up. He's not overwhelming us in this way. He will be very patient and he will reveal a step or two or maybe three. And then he will wait until you take the step. Once you take that action step, he will then reveal to you the next step. It's like this fog that's in front of you. You can only see so far, and then you have to walk closer and the fog will move and reveal a little bit more. And that's what we're doing when we're trying to follow this plan with God. When you're looking for your purpose, it's the journey, it's the steps you're taking. So what are the steps that you need to be taking? What are the action steps? What did God tell you that you need to do next in your situation? You know, a lot of people will say, Taryn, I want my purpose. I want to know what my purpose is. But I can see that this person is so covered in fear that even if God said, your purpose is this, that person couldn't even do it because they're living in so much fear. Or maybe you have to forgive someone and you are drowning and you are suffocating in this unforgiveness and your heart is like ripped open because you can't forgive this person and you have so much hatred for them. You can't even see clear of what your purpose is because you are clouded with this. You know, God is not going to give us our purpose. He's not going to say, okay, you want to be a lawyer? Okay, you're a lawyer. Okay, just because you have the title, does it mean that you're going to be a successful lawyer? No, you have to go to school. You have to do practice trials. You have to be on the journey in order to have the title. It's not just about having a title. It's not like, okay, Taryn, so you're going to be an author and a speaker. Well, I'm not just all of a sudden going to be an author and a speaker. I don't even know how to write a book. I don't even know how to speak on stages. I'm nervous to speak in front of people. So it wasn't just God, give me my title. It's equip me along the way to mold me into this person that is going to have the purpose that you have at the end. You can't just hike up to the top of the mountain your first try. I'm going to go up to Mount Everest and get to the top and that's it. No, most people don't make it because they're not ready for what's to come. So what is God telling you to do? It could be reconciling with someone and forgiving them. Maybe it's apologizing, or you need to repent and surrender. Maybe it's an addiction that God's saying, surrender your addiction to me. You've been trying to quit on your own, but you can't quit on your own because your flesh is so strong and God just wants you to surrender. Maybe the next step is to open your Bible, is to print out prayers and start reading them. Maybe it's to quit something like a relationship or a job you're in, or quit striving and hustling and trying so hard in your own strength. Quit trying to please people. Maybe God's telling you to start that new job, start the podcast, start the blog, start the business, the class, the therapy, or enroll in whatever God's telling you to enroll in. Maybe your next instruction, he's been telling you, just be present. Stop trying. Stop looking into the future. Stop looking into the past. Be present. Maybe he wants you to apply for that next step or to connect with someone. There is something that God is revealing to you. And if you sit there and think, I cannot think of anything that I'm supposed to do next. I truly have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And after this podcast, sit down with a notebook and write at the top of that notebook, what is God telling me to do next? And sit there and pray and ask God to reveal it to you. And I would wait at least 10 minutes. And if you still can't think of anything, then that tells me that you need to go back to step one, which is daily time with God, praying, listening, reading your Bible, in a study, circling up with the right people, in a church, in life groups, in small groups, Bible studies, whatever. So it's very simple. If you're like, I absolutely cannot figure this out, then you're on step one. If you already knew what God was telling you to do before I even got the full question out, and you're like, oh, I already know God's been telling me to quit my job, I'm just too scared to do it. God's been telling me to leave that relationship, but I'm just too scared to do it. You know, you know that God is telling you to do something, but you can't do it because something's holding you back. Like, usually fear is the biggest reason. Worry, stress, anxiety, control. These are the things that are holding you back. And if these are the things that are holding you back, I highly recommend looking up scriptures on fear, scriptures on anxiety, scriptures on money, and print them out and read them out loud over and over, day after day, so you can start seeing, no, I don't have a spirit of fear. No, I don't have a spirit of doubt. God did not give me a spirit of fear. God did not say that. That is a lie. That is the enemy in my mind trying to get me to not do it. And that's really when I realized that everything that I'm doing is a battle, not just against flesh and blood, but in the spiritual realm. Because God doesn't want you to be caught up in fear and doubt and worry. He has said the complete opposite about you. You are chosen and anointed, and you are the daughter of the highest King, and you are set apart, and you are called, and you are here on purpose. And there is a reason why you're here, and he has a plan for your life. And the devil does not want you to get to that end. Because if you do, then you are probably influencing more people for Christ, and he doesn't want that. He wants more people influenced by him, staying in fear, staying small, staying addicted, staying in that bad relationship, that bad marriage, having low self-esteem, low confidence. So if you stay there, then you can never do what God wanted you to do. So this whole process is really keeping your eyes focused on God so that he can lift you up through this. So step two is taking action on these things. For me, my next steps that I know that I need to be doing right now, and anytime that my brain starts thinking like, you know, like, come on, hurry up. I have so much I want to do. And I start getting that excited feeling like, come on, like I need to be doing something. I remember the things that I know that I need to do is I need to finish editing my book. It goes in sections, and I have two full revisions on it. One is like a grammar revision and editing all the words and punctuation and the things like that. The other set of editing is the flow of the book and the information and where things fall and how they're written and the length of the sentences and the subheadings and, you know, the flow, the overall flow. And I need to finish editing that. My editor sent back his revisions and sections of my book that I need to rewrite and move things around and cut and make smaller. And I know that I need to sit down and prioritize editing my book. I have to do that. I also know that I need to apply to different churches in my area that I can speak at. My mentor told me that I need to do this. She told me exactly what to do. She said, send an email. This is how you find the email addresses. This is who you send it to. This is what you say. Let them know that you are a speaker. You are willing to come for free. You want to speak to a group of women, tell them what you're speaking on in the valley. And my mentor challenged me and said, I want you to send out 10 emails. I haven't done that yet. Why? Because I'm in fear. Because I don't have a message for women yet written down. And I told my husband, I'm like, I don't even know what I would talk about. He's like, are you kidding? Like, what do you mean you don't know what you talk about? Like, you would talk about the valley. It's who you are. It's what you do. It's your passion. Don't act like you don't know what you would talk about. Don't act like you're all nervous to talk to them. And I know that I need to apply. I know that God wants me to do this. It's my next step. And I know that I need to meet with my marketing team and move things down the line with this company that I'm hiring. I know that these are three things that I need to be doing. And I was sick last week, so I didn't do them, but I know that now is the time and I need to do this. This is going to push me further along the mountain, further down into my purpose, further through the journey. These are the things. So what are the things that God is telling you? And it's okay if you don't feel strong enough to do them. You know, at one point in my life, God told me for a year to quit my job. And I have journal entries to prove it. Quit your job, quit your job, quit your job, quit your job. And I liked the money and I liked the recognition. And I was like, God, I don't know why you're telling me to quit this job because I really need the money. Like, I don't know if you understand, but I need to make this money. So I didn't think God could take care of me. I wasn't ready for him to take care of me. I just was still too stubborn and I wasn't ready to make the move. And finally, God cornered me and was like, now you have to make a decision. And I finally was able to leave. So if you are like this, if this is the list that you need to do next, but you're terrified to do it, at least you're aware of the things that you know you need to do. And then you can start praying over that list daily of God, equip me so that I can do this. Put people in my life so that I can do this easier. Make me filled with confidence so that I know I can do this. Remove the fear from me so that I can make this decision. Make this decision for me. Take this decision away from me and make it on your behalf if it's what I'm supposed to do. I'm surrendering this job to you. I'm surrendering this relationship to you. I am letting go of control. Lord, I need you to do this for me because I am too weak. I cannot do this. I am too scared. I am too weak. I am too nervous. I am not ready. I am not equipped. Lord, equip me. And then you can start praying over the list. You can print out your scriptures on fear. You can print out your scriptures on money. You can print out your scriptures on community, and you can see, what does God say about this? So I really want you to spend some time figuring out what are your next steps and get them written down. And if you're completely blank and you don't know your next steps, then you need to go back to step one, where you're spending time with God and with his people. Now, whenever I read a book in the Bible, I always want to know who wrote the book. So you can do a simple Google search, who wrote the book of Jonah, and it will tell you Jonah wrote it. Now, I want to know who is Jonah? You know, who was Jonah? Why is there a book written about him? He has to be someone worth writing about. So who is Jonah? So again, a simple search, who is Jonah? In your Bible, you might have, there are a lot of different types of Bibles. And so some of the study Bibles will actually have a whole page before it gets into the story that says, like, this is the book of Jonah. It was written by Jonah. Jonah was the son of Amittai, who was a prophet like Elisha. And it will tell you a little bit of the history. The Bible that I'm reading in right now does not tell me that. So I kind of just do a little study on my own, but I want to know who this person is. So it starts out by saying that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent from their evil ways and to change what they're doing. So I thought, how did he know it was God? Did he have a relationship with God? And where was Jonah at with God at that time? And so he was the son of Amittai. And they said that his dad was a prophet close behind the prophet Elisha. And that basically just says that he was right behind Elijah. He was a prophet. He was very strong, very close with God, and could hear from God and could tell people what to expect from what was to come. So Jonah was raised by this man who was a prophet. And if you're thinking of generational curses or blessings, if you're raised in a home by a father who is a prophet, you probably know a lot about God, right? You've grown up hearing from him all the time. And I don't know how old Jonah was. I'm sure in a study I could figure that out, but he was old enough to run from God and to go south towards the city of Joppa and purchase a ticket to get on a ship that was going further south to Tarshish. So he planned out his disobedience. Okay. He heard God say, you're going to go to Nineveh because you need to tell these people that what they're doing is wrong and they're living in evil ways and they need to repent and turn and change. Well, the people in Nineveh, they were pagans. They did not believe in God. They worshiped a lot of false idols. And actually, one of the main gods that they worshiped was Dagon, who was half man and half mermaid, which is going to make some sense in a minute. So Hebrews, which is who Jonah was, they hated pagans. Like they wanted them dead. So God tells a Hebrew, you're going to go to Nineveh and tell these people to turn from their ways so they don't die. And Jonah is like, Lord, just kill them. Like they should have been listening and serving you anyway. I'm not going there. I'm not going into that nasty city. I'm not going and be exposed of that. No way. So he runs away He goes south. He's on this boat, this fishing boat, and a big storm comes, and all of the fishermen on the boat are calling out to their gods and asking, you know, all of their gods to stop the storm and to help them. And Jonah goes down below and he falls asleep because he does not care. And at this point, he probably knows the storms for him. And he's like, you know what? Just kill me. Like, I don't even care. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to be obedient. I'm not going to listen. So they woke him up and they told him to wake up and pray to his God. They said, we're all praying to our gods. Wake up and pray to your God. Pray that he saves our life. And Jonah says, you know what? I serve the God of Israel and I'm running from him. And that's why the storm is here. So go ahead and toss me overboard and the storm will stop. Well, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to just toss him over and kill him. So they tried to just, you know, reason with God, like, it's okay. We're going to keep this guy on board. The ship ended up, the storm ended up getting stronger. So they're like, okay, fine. We're going to toss you overboard. What ends up happening through this entire mess is the fishermen actually surrender their lives to the one and only God. And they call out in chapter 1, verse 14, they say, it says, therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life and lay not us with the innocent blood for you, O Lord. You have done what we have done, what is pleasing to you. And so what's so great is that these fishermen on this boat actually come to know the Lord, the true Lord, because of what is happening. So that is good. You know, even though he's disobedient, there's still, God is still orchestrating and making good things come of this disobedience. And there really is no escaping God. We see this in Jonah and we see this in a lot of other books, but there is no escaping God. And when I was looking into this, I found a scripture from Isaiah 46. It's verse 9 through 11. It says this, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I would do, and I will do it. If God has a purpose on your life, like he says, he will force this to come about. You cannot run from God. You cannot hide from God. If God wants me to be a speaker and he wants me to speak into the lives of broken people that are in the valley feeling discouraged, broken, and small, and he wants me to tell them about their purpose, I cannot run from God because he will force this to happen like he's forcing Jonah. So we all know how Jonah ends. He jumps off the ship and he ends up getting swallowed by a large fish. Now, God could have just left him in the ocean to die, which is actually where Jonah wanted to be. Jonah was very suicidal. Reading his, reading chapter 2, where he's pouring his heart out and he's repenting and he's just saying, I am at the deepest pit. The weeds are swallowing my head. I'm taking my last breath. He's like ready to go. He's like, I am done. I don't want to live anymore. I'm running from you. But God swallows him up with a fish. And there he sits for 3 days and 3 nights inside the belly of the fish before he finally breaks down and calls out to God, repenting and asking to be saved. And he finally like waves that white flag of surrender, like, okay, fine. I'll go to Nineveh. I'll go, fine. Okay, you got me. I'm in this belly of this fish. And so then God spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out. Here's something so cool that I read, not in the Bible. It was in one of these study guides that was talking about those times. And, you know, the Bible only shows so much. So I like reading between the lines and seeing like, who did the Ninevites worship? Who was their God? And how far away was it? And So something that was really cool. So since the Ninevites worshipped this half man, half mermaid, Dagon, they have said that from being inside the belly of a fish for 3 days, that when he was puked out, when he was vomited out of the fish, his skin was probably very bleached from all the acids inside of the fish, looking very sea creature-esque. And after he was vomited out, it says that it took him 3 days to get to Nineveh. And that's actually pretty quick for him to get to Nineveh. So they said that on the shores where he was vomited out of, there were a ton of fishermen that were there. So what probably happened is when he was vomited out onto the shore, they saw him and they thought that he was Dagon. He looked like this half man mermaid sea creature that was all bleached and all soggy, you know, from being inside this fish. And they're like, I will help you. I will take you there. And what happens is he gets to Nineveh and immediately everyone in the entire city under the king's order, they are like, we are repenting. We are turning from our ways. We are changing how we've been. Immediately, they say that no one is eating any food. We're going on a fast. Not even our animals are eating. We're going to wrap ourselves with sackcloth. We are going to wait. We're going to worship the Lord. We're repenting. We're turning. I mean, just like that, they were like, we're done. We're done with our evil ways. And this was a city that was evil. It was a terrible city. So just like that, because of what the order of events that happened, because he was swallowed by the fish, God actually used that for his good to give him favor and for people to listen to him. And so I just want you to have some encouragement here that even though you are terrified to make that big move or that change or say yes or start that new thing or change, whatever it is that is holding you in bondage, I just want you to know that you haven't screwed it up. It's not like, great, oh, she was supposed to go to school and she didn't. So now what are we going to do? You know, God is going to use whatever is happening. He's going to use it for his glory and for his good. So even if you feel like you've royally screwed up and you've been such a failure up until this point, I want you to know that God is going to use that and he is going to use it for his good and for his glory. So even though Jonah was running away, God was like, okay, I can use this. I can really use this. I'm going to turn all the fishermen on the boat for me away from their pagan gods. So that was a good thing. And then I'm also going to have him pop out of the belly of this fish and that'll give him favor because they'll think he's actually this other person that he's not. And then they're going to listen. And there is a whole lot more to Jonah after in chapter 3 that goes on. Jonah actually has a lot of pride and he's upset that God is saving this city. He's like, you need to just wipe them away. They're not good enough. And so although he is disobedient and expects grace and love from God, he doesn't expect that for other people. And so it's a really good learning lesson for Jonah. Like I said, the story is very short. So I highly recommend you read this whole thing yourself. Now that you kind of have the gist of it, you'll understand it a little bit more. But we can be fearless if we are in his presence. And if we put on who Christ says that we are, which means that we know what it is first and then we believe it, we can do anything. Jesus has a purpose for us and we have to find it on the journey. The only way to do that is by getting into action and listening to what God already told us to do, whether he just told you or you can read the scripture and it says, fear not, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is my staff and my comforter. You can see these scriptures and you know, okay, God says this about me. This is who I truly am. This is what my purpose is. So the story of Jonah is so great because although he's so disobedient and he runs away, God is so forgiving and patient that he makes a way regardless because he has the purpose for you. Remember Isaiah 46:9. I'm going to read this again. It says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I would do, and I will do it. So he already has said what he's going to do over your life, and he's going to do it. And it's going to be a lot faster if you start walking obediently instead of running and God having to pull you out of the belly of a fish. Okay. Because I know a lot of times that year that I was running away from my job, and well, I was running away from quitting my job. I guess I was running to my job, and a couple jobs actually I had that God told me, you're going to quit, you're going to quit. And I didn't. And he either took it from me, praise God, because he knew I could never do it. He's like, I'm just going to take this from you. So a few of those, I love when I hear people talking about maybe quitting their job and then their boss fires them. And I'm like, see, you already knew you were going to leave, but you couldn't do it and didn't have the guts. So God did it for you. Praise God, because now you don't have that decision to make. And now you have to move forward. So I want you to move forward up this mountain. I want you to be able to take a step and another step and another step and another step. It's about the journey. So stop focusing so much on the end result of what do I want to be when I get older? Start focusing on what has God told me to do today that will help me move forward in my journey, because none of us know where we're really going to end up. I know that God has put this passion in me to be a speaker and a writer, but I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know where I'm going to go. So I have to just be obedient with God right now and do the things that he has set me out to do. And it's the same with you. So stop running from God. Stop living in fear. Stop hiding from God. If you truly want to move out of the valley and into your calling, and you want to truly feel better, you want better for your family than what you had. You want to start generational blessings and end these curses once and for all. You want to live this life connected to God. Then you need to connect with him. He is the most incredible thing to be connected to throughout your day. And every single person has time to connect with God. You're scrolling on your phone, you're playing games on your phone, you're watching Netflix, you're taking naps, you're busying yourselves like a Martha in your house, just trying to clean and organize and clean and organize and clean and organize. You know what? The next time that your kids are napping, or the next time that you have some time that you can clean or organize, instead of choosing to clean and organize, why don't you choose to pick up your Bible and just start reading it? Read the proverb of the day. Read Jonah. Read the story of Easter in Luke. And just spend some time doing that. Get out your notebook and journal. God, what is my next step? Where do you want me to be? Reveal this to me. He will. You seek and you will find. He stands at the door and knocks, and he is waiting for you to open the door. He is. He's just standing there like any second now. She's going to open the door any second, and I'm going to come right in. And he stands there and he knocks and he waits. So you need to open the door and let him in, and do that by spending time with him to hear the instruction and then to take the action step, because you've been held up in bondage for long enough. You've been distracted for long enough. We need you. We need you to step forward. We need you to be there to inspire other people, to be a light for other people for Christ that shines, to show your kids, to be a role model for your marriage, for other people. The time is now. It truly is. Thank you for waking up with me today and setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I pray that God leads you and guides you to your promised land, and your fear and your worry and your doubt all wash away. If you are stuck in the valley and you are feeling hopeless and helpless, please download my 5 Steps to Hope Valley Guide that will tell you step by step by step how to get out of the valley and to stay out of the valley. You can find that on the link on my Instagram, as well as tons of other free tools, prayers, printouts for your identity, and to get my favorite list of books, devotions, for adults and for kids, also learn my favorite accountability software that I use for my kids and check out my favorite must-watch sermons if you're in the Valley. Thank you. God bless.